On last week, Pastor Seawright talked about how a unified church is God's super team, because God gives the ability, opportunity, and results. On today, he goes even deeper with part four of his series on body work, with the second of two sermons entitled, As He Wills, Not As We Will. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you once again, Lord. And Lord, we come with our hearts open to receive. Receive a word from you. Receive a word from on high. Lord, to improve us. Lord, to mature us, that we may go on, Lord, in the pursuit of building your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you have Bibles or if you have tablets, I ask for you to find 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 8 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 11. While you're going there, let me say a few things. Her name is Carrie. Don't hate her because she's beautiful. Don't hate her because she's beautiful. Oh, yeah. That's my sugar loaf. That's sugar loaf. All right. I'm so happy for me. All right. Just one thing, though, before I start the message. Church, I would like for you all to remember this, because I think it's a sound statement, a sound statement. The responsibility is ours, but the results is they're his. The responsibility is ours, but the results are his. I'm just humbled by the skill set that's here at New Life, the talent that's here at New Life, the giftedness that's here at New Life. On yesterday, you may not have seen a turnout that Ravi Zachariah would have received, or some of the other brothers that are more famous. But I would venture to say that you wouldn't have seen a better organized event. I want to thank the directors here for giving such an awesome presentation of an apologetics conference. And as I stated, as it was stated this morning, if you weren't there, you missed out. It was some good information. In particular, we had two presenters that were just great. They were great. They were great, Brother Moss and Brother Hill. I tell you, they really laid out God's word. With that in mind, I just want the church to keep encouraged, because, as I stated, the responsibility is ours, but the results are His. And if we continue to see results like that, they are indications. Those results are indications that we are on the right path. We are headed in the right direction. So my heart is encouraged on today. And as I stated, I thank all those who organized that event. As we get down to it, though, at the task at hand, here is: as He wills, not as we will, part two. Part two. Coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. And I'm going to try to be before you all in a brief period of time, because I got a whole carry. So if you could be either of these superheroes, which would you be? Either of the superheroes, which one would you be? How about Superman? I read a little bit up on Superman. His strongest punch is called the Infinite Mash Punch. If you get hit with that, your life is over. Yeah, I know. Check this out. He died and came back to life stronger. Yeah. His powers, he is so powerful that he outlasts reality. And he helps God create. Yeah, that's what I was reading up on. Yeah. And check this out. He once cupped a black hole in his hands. Or how about the Hulk? See, nothing can overpower him, according to this article. Nothing can overpower him. And not even Superman or Thor can overpower him. He has unlimited power, and he has the Hulk smash. Yeah. Or what about Flash? I read a little bit on him. Flash, he can run at any speed he thinks is possible. That boy fast. Boy, fast. He can reach speeds billions of times faster than the speed of light. Yeah. He can run so fast that he'll leave you motionless for eternity. That's fast, right? That's fast. Yeah, they're fast. Now, if you had your choice of spiritual gift, which would you choose? Wayne Grudem, he said there in the Bible there are recorded six lists of spiritual gifts. Six lists. And today we'll briefly cover some of them. But which one would you choose? Would you choose a word of wisdom, word of knowledge? Would you choose faith? Would you choose the gift of healing? What about the working of miracles? And on and on and on. But before we get off into, you know, this big thing about which one will we choose, let's pause for a moment and consider this. The definition of grace is God's unmerited, unearned favor. Grace is unmerited and it's unearned favor. Another person put it this way: God's goodness towards those who only deserve punishment. God's goodness towards those who only deserve punishment. That's why grace is so amazing. That's why it's so amazing, because it was freely given to us by a loving God, and we didn't deserve it. And we didn't deserve it. Think about it. If we could deserve grace, then it wouldn't be grace, right? If we could deserve it, if we could earn it, then it would no longer be grace. Let me make a connection for you all by giving you a few scriptures. First scripture is Romans 12 and 6. And I'm going to give you a hint as to what I'm pointing to. Having gifts that differ, this is Romans 12 and 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let me give you another one. Ephesians 4 and 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let me give you another one. 1 Peter 4 and 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. These scriptures and others explain to us, to make the connection, that spiritual gifts are grace gifts. They are gifts of grace. Spiritual gifts are extraordinary gifts or abilities of the Spirit that are given to the Christian to equip them for the service of the church. Amen? Now, note what Paul states in 2 Corinthians, 12th chapter and the 9th verse. He says this: But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God gives us grace to equip us with what we need to get the job done. Grace is what we need to get the job done. That's why the old saints used to sing, Lord, give me grace to run this race. Give me grace to run this race. So if they are grace gifts, then they cannot be earned or merited. They are bestowed upon us. They're given to us. We can't earn them. We can't work for them. They are a gift. Grace is a gift. Amen? However, Romans, the 11th chapter, verse 29, says this: For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So this lets us know that once God has given us this gift, he will not rescind it. Right? He won't rescind it. He won't take it back. However, pump the brakes. Because 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Which points to this fact, that our behavior can render our gifts inoperable. Our behavior can render our gifts inoperable. MacArthur made a statement that I said, whoa, I've got to share this one. He made this statement. He says, in the deepest sense, believers don't really use their gifts. In the deepest sense, believers don't really use their gifts. The Holy Spirit uses it through them. You hear that? The Holy Spirit uses it through them. 1 Corinthians 12 and 11. It says this. All these are empowered. He's talking about these gifts. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually. That's talking about us. And here's the point. As he wills. It is as he wills, not as we will. Amen? Now, as we look at these gifts, because we're going to go through just some of them today. We're just going to go through a few of them today. So, but before we do, let's remind ourselves of one rule that Elder Williamson taught us in the past. He said this, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. But in all things, love. In essentials, unity. Is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord? Unity. In non-essentials, liberty. You like bologna? I don't like bologna. It's your liberty to eat bologna. It's my liberty not to eat bologna. Non-essential. But in all things, love. This is not the time to be dogmatic. Okay? It's not the time to be dogmatic. We got to remember that we need to be dogmatic about some things. But in other things, it's liberty. Liberty. But in all things, love. Amen? So we can tolerate and spend time on points that are rationally laid out among ourselves, where we rationally are laying out points and trying to just figure this thing out and trying to get to that truth that we all need. Right? But what we don't have time for is quarreling. That means you trying to prove a point. You trying to prove your point. And I'm trying to prove my point. See, that's what we don't have time for. But if we're rationally trying to get to the truth, and we're just trying to wrestle with some things to get to the truth so we can all grow, we got time for that. Amen? We have time for that. 1 Corinthians 12th chapter and verse 8 says this. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. What are these things? What are these things? Now that we're going to delve off into a few, let's see what they're about. Well, in my research, what I found is that let me say this first. Knowledge is an understanding of something, right? And this was taught earlier here at this church as well. Knowledge is that understanding of something, but wisdom is that ability to apply what you know, right? So we want to remember that when we see these words, knowledge and wisdom, point up. But in my research, utterance or word of wisdom means that someone has a special gift of wisdom or insight and the ability to apply God's unchanging truths to changing situations. You hear that? They have this ability to apply unchanging truth to changing situations. You ever spoke to someone and talk, or just had a conversation with someone, and you're just having conversations maybe about a problem or a situation, and then all of a sudden they can like apply word to it. They can just say, well, in Ephesians so-and-so, man, it says this. In 1 Corinthians, it says, you know, that just reminded me of what I was reading last night, and it said, blah, 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 blah. And then they're connecting God's truth to your situation. Those folks, they really need to know the word to do this. Amen? But then there's this utterance or word of knowledge. Now, this is the best understanding that I came up with. Someone that has a particular gift for appreciating truths other Christians may easily miss. And they are able to instruct them and share this understanding. So while this message may fly over someone's head, others will catch it and they're like, ooh, good. Ooh, C-Wright is doing it. Ooh, C-Wright, oh, yeah. And you're over there wondering, okay, what are they getting? I mean, to me, you know, he lost me a Superman. Right? And then later on, when you're having a conversation, then all of a sudden they can say, you didn't get what he said when he said. I hope everybody's like, ooh, I get it. What about this one? And verse 9 of the same chapter. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Right? So faith. All Christians have faith. But there are those that have like a knowledge, an agreement to the truth, a confidence in the truth, in divine truth, to a point in which it changes their outlook on life, and it changes their behavior. These folks are at a level of believing God, you know, to where it changes their outlook and perspective on things and changes the way they behave. They really believe that since he said it, that settles it. I believe it, and I'm going to walk in it as if it's already done. You know, I wanted to see how those people felt because I don't have it. And I wanted to see how those people felt. So I told you all this one time where I was at choir rehearsal, and And I was going over the songs and whatnot, and then Karen was at home, and she said, Jerry, we had a real old garage door, and she said, Jerry, the garage door fell on Tony's car. Tony's car was parked in the garage, and it fell, and this was a heavy garage door, and she said, it fell on the top of Tony's car. Oh, my, oh, my. And I was like, okay. I'll be there. It's no problem. I want to see what faith felt like. Hung up. Finished the rehearsal. Went to the house. And it looked bad. The folks came the next day and took the garage door off the car. Not a scratch on the car. Not a scratch on the car. And I was like, so that's what people that have that level of faith feels like. Because I don't have it. I just wanted to see how it felt. I don't. So that was just a one-time shot for me. But I know how they feel. I can relate now. But there are some people that go through situations, man, I'm like, man, I believe him, but whoo, man. Okay. That's your cross, right? That's your cross. I'm going to pray for you. But it's a gift that they go through, and they go through it, and it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. Now you're talking about this gift of healing. Uh-oh. This is where they get tricky now. This is where they get tricky. The basic meaning of this gift is it's to cure. To cure. To make whole. Now, when you see it used in the Bible, many times when it's applied, it's by the laying on of hands. Right? So now, that means now you have two sides to this thing. One side believes that God heals people through individuals today. This side further expresses that it ought to be a normal thing in Christianity. And if we today are not experiencing this gift, then we are not experiencing the richness of the Spirit and the spiritual life that God intends for us to have. That's their position. In essence, we are crippling ourselves if we don't believe this. Well, the other side says this, that this gift was a temporary gift, given to the church for the authenticity of the apostles. So that folks could know that the apostles were God's messengers, were God's people, he gave them this ability so that they could back the word of God as well, to establish that the gospel is true, to establish that Jesus is real and true, to establish God, to point to him and his glory. Now, does it still exist? To me, non-essential. That's me. Here's the essential, though. We observe that each time that it occurs, as this healing occurs in the Word, it pointed to the Word. Each time that this healing occurred, it pointed to the Word, to the gospel, to Jesus, right? It did not point to the individual that it was done through. That's the essential. It was not about the man that laid on the hands. Amen. Going on to another, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Working of miracles. Working of miracles. See, the effect of God's grace in the believer's life through his dunamis power. That's some power. But it's inherited power. It's not your power. It's inherited power. And this power is powerful enough. We serve an able God. We serve a capable God. Amen. And his power is powerful enough to overrule natural laws of nature. And he interrupts nature for a moment and poof. Works a miracle. And he did that in the word as well through individuals. Through individuals. But just like healing, is it essential? Not to me. It's actually a non-essential. Now, does it exist? Good. However, some say that this was a temporary gift to once again establish the authority of the apostles, to establish their authority, to let folks know that they were authentic. That they came from Christ. Amen? So you have two sides as to this as well. But once again, here's the essential thing to me. Every time a miracle was worked in the Bible, it pointed to Christ. It established him as Lord and Savior. It did not point to the individual that was used to do that miracle. Amen? That's the essential. Now, the other one is prophecy. Prophecy. You know, I read something that says, you know, if prostitution is the oldest profession, then the second oldest is foretelling. It's foretellers, right? So prophecy means basically to speak forth to proclaim. To speak forth to proclaim. It is that spirit given, that spirit empowered ability to proclaim the word clearly and effectively. Clearly and effectively. I know that those who are familiar with this terminology, they know that there is foretelling and then there's forthtelling, right? Foretelling means that you're telling of something that hasn't occurred yet. It's future, right? But forthtelling is basically communicating truths, right? Communicating truths. Well, there are two sides to this as well. Some said that, yes, foretelling is still going on. But here is an interesting thing, too. The other side says, no, this was a temporary gift. The only part that's going on now is the fourth telling, the communication of truth. Because why does God have to add to what he's already completed? Why would he have to add to what's already completed, which is his word, right? Another strong point to this is this as well. If you go back and review the prophets in the Old Testament, the majority of the time, they weren't about foretelling. Review it for yourself. What they were more so about was reiterating. They were reiterating what was already stated by God. Because way back in the earlier books, God was saying, hey, if you disobey, I'm going to get you. And then all of a sudden, here comes Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of them. And they said, if you disobey, he will get you. That wasn't foretelling. That was just, I'm letting you know the truth right now. He's going to get you. A spanking is coming, right? Look at it for yourself. That's a strong point. Amen? Then there is one that I thought was very interesting. The distinguishing between spirits. Discernment. Now, there is no argument here. Folks on both sides say, oh, yeah, this one is going on. This one is established. Because scholars call these folks that have this gift the watchdogs of the church. They are the protectors of the church. See, they have the ability to judge spirits and evaluate teachings to see if they are passing the test, right? They can recognize lying spirits. Huh? You know, I remember in the mothers of this church, they blessed me throughout the years, but I can remember a conversation with Mother Gordon, and I was just walking by, and I was saying my hey's and how you doing and giving her kiss, and then she was telling me how much I was in trouble. And then all of a sudden, she paused, and she said to me, and it sticks with me to this day, she said, you will know when you are around the same spirit. Because when you are around a different spirit, it's going to feel different. And I said, huh? She said, you will know when you are in a room of people and they don't have the same spirit as you. You will know if you're around an individual that doesn't have the same spirit as you, you'll be like, man, something ain't jiving here. And she was right. I said, man, something is not, okay, I can't put my finger on it. I said, ah, Mother Gordon. Yeah, okay, that's what's going on here. It's not the same spirit that's going on. But these are the watchdogs of the church, the protectors. And when I meet folks that have this insight, this discernment, it's really interesting and it's really refreshing because you're like, wow, you know, I didn't think of it that way. When they, all of a sudden they'll say something and it blows your mind because, see, you missed it, but they were on it and they got it and they said, And even further, a step further, I think that some folks may mix prophecy up with this one, with this gift. See, they're talking about foretelling, but see, they may mix this up with this distinguishing of spirits, because God can give you a word through these people. He can give you a word through these people that you didn't peep. They didn't peep the situation. See, you didn't peep the situation, but they did. They have insight on it, and God is just giving them that discernment to say, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go there. After everything that I understand the only thing that you tell me, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't do that. You know, so it's not that they have this big old funny hat on their head with a crystal ball and they're up there like, oh, I see who you're going to marry. I see who, oh, you're going to have 3 kids and all this other stuff. No, it's not that. It's more or less like, girl, about what you're telling me, this, he ain't for you. That's a lying spirit. You see, hey, if you're not listening to him, one day you'll come back and say, you told me that was a lying spirit, right? You told me, you told me that was a lying spirit, right? Various tongues, various kinds of tongues. This is the background for what this whole chapter from 12 through 14 was about. Folks were coveting tongues. They love the showy gifts, right? I remember somebody, I don't know, but one of the ministers gave an example of two guys playing a guitar, and they said one, was a Caucasian brother, and he was back there just jamming all the licks. But then all of a sudden, this African American brother comes up there, and he's like, and he was showing off, and everybody was like, oh, that brother, because he was showing off, right? Jamming, right? Just jam. And we're attracted to all the showboating. We're attracted to all the showboating. But here's the one laid back, skillful, doing his thing. But we go to the showboat stuff, right? So all of a sudden, those folks in Corinthians, they were in church and they were speaking in tongues. And some folks says that they were simply other languages that they did not have formal teaching or formal learning in. Others say it was heavenly languages. But either way, it was two gifts that were paired together, the one of interpretation. Now, this is a hotbed gift, if you will. And some people, you mess with their passions when you come against this gift here, right? But I can say to you, and I won't give names, but I've seen situations and heard of situations where I cannot be dogmatic about it right here. Right here. Because there was a situation in which two individuals were in prayer line. And one individual was speaking in tongues. And all the church was hearing tongues. They didn't understand it. To them, it may have been even gibberish. But to the one that was standing right beside that person, they later on said, did you hear what she said? Did you hear what she said? And I was like, huh? And she was speaking in tongues. No, but did you hear what she said? I don't know. No, she said this. I heard her. And this is what she said. And I was like, wow, you heard that? Yeah, I heard that. She said this. And it was speaking to her situation. I can't be dogmatic about that. I can't be dogmatic about it. But I can be dogmatic about this. If you come and approach me saying that I'm not saved because I don't speak in tongues, we got an issue. We have an issue. We have an issue. So, don't, if you come and say, hey, you are more spiritual than me because you speak in tongues, we got an issue. We have an issue. Because if you can speak in tongues, that was the issue that was going on in Corinthians. Let's see who can be super saints. Let's see who can be a cut above. When at the cross of the ground is, people are always trying to, right? Everybody always trying to up each other. Let me wrap it up by saying this, and I'll skip the other ones for now. Let me wrap it up by saying this. Here's the deal. I was listening to R.C. Sproul in this area, and I thought this would be good for the church. The whole point of this spiritual gift and body works, these messages, is to try to figure out how we can line this thing up. How we can line it up to where we are trying to really match gifts, the people with their gifts. See, the church doesn't do a person any favor if they are allowing them to exercise in an area that they are not gifted in. You hear me? We don't do you favors if we are telling you, if we are like having you exercise in a gift that in an area that you're not gifted in. You know, R.C. Sproul said this. He says that there are job descriptions out in the world, and then there's called this motivated ability pattern. So what they try to do is they try to intersect these two circles. And where you see that intersection, that's the level of satisfaction that you have, if you will. And I'm trying to speed through this without confusing you all. But there are some folks, for example, that are motivated to do things because it says motivated ability pattern. There are some people that are motivated to do things, but they don't have the ability to do them. They want to do them, but they don't have the ability to do them. But there are some that are not motivated, and they have the ability. You hear me? There are some that are not motivated, but yet they have the ability to do it. So how do you reconcile this? How do you get like some people are they, and I'm gonna say something here. Hear me out. Satan's job. He goes around and he counterfeits gifts. He counterfeits gifts. He wants to make you think that they're authentic, but they're not. But he's not the only one that counterfeits gifts sometimes. Sometimes our wanting to be what we're not. Sometimes our wanting to be what we are not tries to counterfeit a gift. See, rather than being motivated by trying to help, we're motivated by our ambition. We are ambitious, and we want to, and our ambition, see, we want to outshine. See, some gifts outshine others, so we want to outshine. We want to be what we are not, which goes back to this point. They're grace gifts. That means that these are gifts that God chooses for you to have. You don't choose your gift. You don't go in line and say, I think I'm going to have wisdom. I think I'm going to have this. I'm going to have a little bit of that, and then I should be good. I should be good. There's no grocery store that you go into, and then you up here picking out what gifts you have. God says 296 South Boulevard West, New Life needs this, and I'm going to give it to her. It needs this. I'm going to give it to him. It needs this. I'm going to give it to him. It needs this. I'm going to give it to her. And sometimes he says this. It needs this, 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 and this, and I'm going to give it to her. You hear that? Sometimes you like, you got a bunch of them, and he just gives those to you. But one will dominate. So, what's your spiritual gift? If you say, I don't know, Tuesday night is where you can come. That's right, Tuesday night. Amen. Come out to Tuesday night and we will happily point you in a direction. Amen. Tuesday night, what's your gift? What's your gift? Don't try to manufacture one as we stand. The church is at its best when we are serving God obediently, when we are in places that He wants us to be, areas in which He wants us to work, when we are in His will, when we are in His will, in His will. But see, you won't be preoccupied with these things of the church if you haven't made one decision, and that is, are you in church? Are you in church? Have you made that decision about Christ? Are you following Him? Is He your Lord and Savior? That's the question. You have to make that decision, because He gives spiritual gifts to those who are His. Is there one? Is there one? There may be another that, you know, says, you know, I got to tighten some things up. I got to get in a position where I can use my gifts. You know, I've quenched the spirit. You know, behavior has sidelined me, and I need to get back. I need to get back in that race. I need to get back together. I need to hit that reset button. And I say, come now. Come now. And then there are those who have been visiting for some time. I say, come. If you want to join us, come. The more the merrier. Is there one? Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.